You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 8, Episode 6 coming your way this week. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you once again. We're brought to you in association with our main sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions this League of Ireland season. And Anthony Quinn, an Athlone man, he'll be delighted to know that we've got Dylan Hand joining us on this week's podcast. Dylan, of course, involved in one of the most controversial but entertaining transfer sagas of the off-season, I think it's fair to say. Announced as re-signed for Longford, ended up signing for Athlone just a few days later. So we'll find out exactly what went on there with Dylan, because, of course, Longford and Athlone face each other on Friday night in Lizzie Woolen in the Midlands Derby. But Dylan won't be playing. He's suspended. Apparently, ducking that fixture, Gary, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah. He won't even be going to the game at all. Watching on the stream, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll get to Dylan a little bit later on, but we're going to dive straight into the Premier Division results from the weekend. Only one place to start, Gary, and Shelburne, they just keep on winning. 2-1 winners against Pats.
Yeah, keep on trucking on. They can't be stopped right now. They've been playing some decent enough ball, but it doesn't really matter what way they're playing. In one sense, considering the results that they're getting, they've been exceptional. Obviously wonderful results that they've got in the past few weeks, and this is another one.
Just clinical, aren't they?
Two good goals from Jarvis. I think Pats will be very disappointed with that, particularly with the same lad scoring.
Kind of identical goals, aren't they? Just passed the two of them. Yeah. The second one was very poor from a Pats perspective. We talked about last year, towards the end of last season, an awful lot on the pod. We kind of thought Shells would kick on this season, but a big concern was how on earth would they replace the brilliance of Jack Moylan? Pretty much impossible to do, but is it fair to say in Jarvis, they've probably gone as close as they can get to replacing a player like Moylan?
Yeah, well, they made a good fist of it, to be fair, haven't they? You know, yeah. They had him last year, obviously, but probably there's been a bit more required of him this year, as you said, but Moylan out of the team or gone from the team or whatever. So to see Jarvis stepping up and contributing a few goals on top of everything else is great for them, but I'd be very disappointed from Pats. You know, the defending for both of the goals wasn't fantastic. As you said, I think the second one in particular was ropey as well, so especially like after he'd done the same 10 minutes earlier. Do you know what I mean? It's poor. It's just not a really good time for Pats, and it's just not great. And you know, they need a big result. And I momentarily forgot that they're playing in Minnesota tomorrow or Thursday, whenever that is, but I'm not sure how that'll help them rediscover their league form. But a poor home loss, and that's the loss to Bowes, I think, in Richmond earlier on the season. Yeah. Against a rubbish Bowes team playing rubbish football. That was obviously a body blow as well. But it's not clicking at all.
No, it's not.
For Pats, and they need to do something quite quickly about it. But two good goals from Jarvis, has to be said. And who's got the equaliser?
Not an equaliser, but got the consolation in the end. Mulroney.
Yeah. And like, you know, you might have looked at it and gone, you know, there was 15, 20 minutes left in that game then. Mm. They didn't probably put enough pressure on Shells to dig it out. Had a couple of chances, but just the quality wasn't there.
So
great result for Shells, no doubt about it, especially going into this little break that they have. So how many points are they clear? A couple of, 5 points clear. Only six games gone, but we're not crowning them yet, obviously, but 5 wins on the bounce.
Yeah, we might come back to the makeup of the league table a little bit later on, but let's move on to the next one. Galway 0, Shamrock Rovers 1. This was the live game on RT2 the other night, so thankfully we didn't get the dreaded 0-0 live on the telly, but it was fairly close. It took a late goal here from Shamrock Rovers. Obviously, that's their first win of the season, so that's probably the big headline here. But I have to say, I thought Galway were unlucky not to come away with something here for their efforts.
Yeah, look, it's a big game with Shamrock Rovers coming down on RTE there as well. So, would have been nice for them to get a point out of it at least. But and look, they made a good fist of it. Probably, probably going to be disappointed. Of course, they're going to be disappointed. But would have been nice to just. Even a nil all draw would have been a great little result for them, particularly with the stuttering and nature of Shamrock Rovers at the minute. But a good result for Shamrock Rovers. They could have
cracking goal. I really enjoyed their goal.
Yeah, very good. But what was the score in the last couple of minutes? Like they seemed to be on top. I was at the Bowes Jerry game on Friday, so I didn't actually get watching this live, but there seemed to be like plenty of chances in the game for both teams, and maybe obviously I think on the balance that Shamrock Rovers have the greater number of chances, but
they just needed to get that win on the board, Rovers, so take it
anyway. I know you said we'll look at the table later on. Could be worse. Not a bad result.
They need to get players back, don't they?
The Shamrock Rovers did 100% do. They're kind of not.
We've been hearing it for weeks now. The Byron is on the verge of being back, and then no sign of him. So. Hopefully the international
on the verge of everything in the last while. Wouldn't be overly concerned with it. Obviously, like when they come back after next week, they'll be at home to Bowes. So great time to get their first win of the season, because that'll be more than likely, I'd say Bowes will have a new manager installed by that point. But he'd hope so. But that point, it's actually was a 6th against 7th. Wouldn't have thought that at the start of the season, but
I'm Bowes. Will their fans want to see a change of manager before then? Pender's gone in, good result the other night against Derry, a 2-1 win. It looks like Pender was kind of calling the shots as opposed to Fenlon on the night. And I think Bowes fans have said when Pender stepped in before, he's done a good job. I don't think he's the badges though, does he? To take it on full time, so that would rule him out. But from a Derry
that's the least that would rule him out. I don't think he should be there at all. But sorry, go on.
From a Derry perspective, this is the sort of result that kind of soured us last season.
Oh God bless us! Yeah, it was terrible, absolutely terrible. Great win for both.
Sorry, just me. You were here. You were at this game.
I was at this game. Yeah, and let on that I'll probably go to fewer games this year, and unfortunately this game hasn't changed my mind at all. Decent game for maybe a bit of drama, but the quality of football, Derry were so boring, God above.
Funny you should say that, actually, because I was going through a few different Derry fan groups during the week online, and I seen two or three identical comments from different supporters. There was a lot of talk about some of the team selection from Rory Higgins, some of the tactics, and then I seen the same comment appear two or three times in different places. They were like, look, we can all have different opinions on selection, tactics, signings, etc., but the most disappointing thing for me as a supporter is the fact that we're extremely boring to watch. I seen that said in multiple places by Derry fans last week after this defeat.
Oh, and they're not wrong. It was terrible. I'd say if they were in the 6-yard box, they'd be looking to pass it to Brian Matter. In the bold 6-yard box, they would have been looking to pass it to Brian Matter. Backwards, 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 backwards. It was just terrible stuff. I didn't know or and I haven't bothered to find out since what was wrong with Michael Duffy. He was in the crowd. I saw him as the game was being kicked off, so not obviously ideal for Derry, but like they've more than enough lads knocking around there to not do that. That with all of that said, I thought Bowes were quite hard working and dedicated. I thought Conley had a good game apart from his terrible dive. Like it was Olympic stuff.
He's got form for that. He has. He's got form for that. I've seen him go down soft a lot. Why did he do it? Just round the goalie and put it in.
Yeah, I don't think he might have got it. Someone was covering him. Some other lad that was only too delighted to be running back towards his own goal in Derry. over the moon that he was able to be running back and looking into Matter's face. But yeah, I don't think the pass around the box the play to get around Matter was very good. So I think he was probably looking for something there, but he was obviously looking for a penalty, but it was terrible. It was terrible. And then the theatrics with the head in the hands and rolling around, well, he wasn't rolling around, but on his knees and the whole lot after was just...
He wasn't the only one guilty of that this week, so we'll come to that later.
We'll come to that, yeah, but like it kind of took away from his performance because I thought he was the best player for Bowes.
Right.
Not the first time I've heard that said about him. He's been very good for Bowes and works extremely hard. But that dive was just brutal. Mm. But look, you know, even going back to the positives for Bowes, the opening goal was a terrible mistake.
Oh yeah, from Todd.
But the pass back to him was just as bad under no pressure.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And even though all they've been doing the whole game was passing around the back and looking at each other, it was just very poor play that just created a huge problem for them when there was no real pressure there. I know there was a bit of pressure on Todd and on the player to pass it back to him, but like nothing of major note. Should be well able to deal with that, and they didn't, and it was a great finish from Rooney. And then Akintunde gets a kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, I don't know, scuttling around the box from a corner and gets it in. It was very hard for me to see. I was in the Jody. It was kind of hard to see where or how it went in. But Mullen, I know, what's his name? Mullen or McMullen? What's his name? The little lad.
There's two of them. There's Mullen and McMullen.
Yeah, I can't think. But the lad that wears gloves.
McMullen,
yeah. And he needs to get dug out a bit for that. You know what I mean? It's not that cold. But anyway, he was quite good for Derry.
Player, positive, like
he was kind of trying to do it on his own nearly. But look, there was some positive plays from Derry as well. They kind of got a bit of the act together in the second half.
Huben was very isolated, from what I understand, was he?
He was. Not involved that much. Did he get booked in the game? I can't remember.
It's not showing it here on my screen, but it just kind of backs up what you're saying, I suppose, because I'm looking at the stats and like they've had double the amount of passes that Bowes have had.
95% of them useless passing.
That's what I mean. So like that amount of the ball, but yeah, Pat Hooban not getting any chances.
Yeah.
And this is something we spoke about when we flagged our concerns in pre-season pods and pods at the end of last year about why we feel Derry mightn't be the automatic title challengers this season that everyone thinks that they will be. This was the thing we pointed to, this style of play. Just because Pat Hooban's there, you have to give him the ball to score goals.
Yeah, and that was you were dead right. That was a concern. Like even like when I was drawing about 25 goals this season for Hooban, it seemed like when you look at it now, like, and they can't afford to do any more of these types of performances. It's just not good enough.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's like they're showing teams too much respect, or don't respect themselves, or don't trust themselves, or I don't know if Higgins trusts anybody.
Too married to the philosophy, maybe, are they?
That's not a philosophy. That's a waste of time. What Derry are at. That's not a philosophy. If it is a philosophy, then I don't know what needs to happen. But that's rubbish. Like, they were very negative, one-dimensional, all those cliche terms that you want to talk about. Great finish from Boyce, but and the Bowes keeper did have to make a few saves, but I don't think Derry were dominant enough to be to get anything out of the game.
Dundalk nil, Waterford nil, but improved showings, signs of life here from Dundalk. I think they probably had the better chances to win this game. Sargent made a couple of really good saves for Waterford, but we were digging out Dylan Connolly there for his dive up in Dalymount. I think Dundalk fans were going mental on the night that Cameron Elliott didn't get a penalty, but every single angle I've seen, that's a dive all day long for me.
Yeah, and didn't the Dundalk Twitter put it up as well?
Well, I know Stephen O'Donnell spoke about it after, and he was adamant it was a penalty, but obviously he would be. But for me, that's a total dive from Elliott, who missed a great chance before that in the game. He's down the middle of the box, gets played in, lovely pass. I can't remember who fed him the ball, but he's in the centre of the box, and he just drives it straight down the middle at Sargent. Now, plenty of power in it, so it looked a better save than it was. But like he goes either side of the keeper, he scores. And he decides to bury it down the centre of the goal. Like, that's the sort of finish you'd expect from a centre-back, not a centre-forward.
Yeah, look, you need to be making hay out of those chances. But, look, it's probably a decent result at the same time for Derry, particularly after their last one at home.
Dundalk.
Derry. Sorry.
Well, it's all right. Half for the ex-Dundalk boys are with Derry, so we'll forgive you.
Yeah. a very much required point, particularly down the bottom of the table against decent enough Waterford side who have made a decent start to life back in the Premier Division. But yeah, that was a very poor dive again.
We dig out refs, but fair play to the two refs, they weren't conned this week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was even that goal or that incident in Oriel, very quick to make the decision, you know, and the shaking of the head, like it is a great angle. If you haven't seen it, go onto the Dundalk page, the video up from the incident where there's like a cameraman or some lad on the sideline, and the ref just straight away shaking his head into your man's face, and I've seen good stuff. Decent result, I suppose, for Dundalk in particular, that they didn't suffer another beating at home. But I think it's going to be a long old road for them getting out of this funk that they're in, because I don't think O'Donnell is capable of it at this moment in time, and I don't think they have the personnel either. So, bit of a long road for them.
And their next game is away to Shells, so it doesn't come much tougher than that at the moment. They're playing St. Mochta's tonight in the Leinster Senior Cup quarterfinals, and obviously they don't have a game this weekend in Daw, so they've named a strong enough team. I suppose probably not the worst idea in the world, really, a chance to gel some of those new players together and maybe get a bit of confidence going. Right, let's move on to
just when you mentioned that, they're 2-0 down at the minute.
They're not, are they?
Yeah, at halftime.
Seriously?
Swear to God, yeah.
My goodness.
Well, I just opened up the Twitter there because I wanted to get that clip up just to see it again. 2-0 St. Mochta's, 34 minutes played. It's halftime, 2-0.
My God.
Actually, just when you say that, Munro, Horgan, O'Kane, Muller, Mulligan, Doyle, Kenny, Bradshaw, McLaughlin, and Keogh.
It's not full strength, but there's...
It's a fair strength team.
Oh, wow, that's not good. Usually a Leinster Senior Cup result wouldn't bring too much pressure on anyone, but that's not going to help anyone if they lose that game.
Yeah, needs to pull it out of fire here. Wake up, I think is the moral of the story here at halftime. Yeah.
Right, we'll keep an eye on that as the show goes on. Right, Sligo Rovers 3, Drogheda United 1, another good result for your buddies up in Sligo. But I was watching this one Saturday night because obviously another Longford game called off, so had to trudge on home and look at the four walls for a few hours before 7:45 hit, and I said, right, at least I can watch some League of Ireland football now. And first half was actually very enjoyable in this game. I thought there was some really good football played by both sides. First 15 minutes, it was all Drogheda, they were all over Sligo. Didn't take the couple of chances that came their way. Sligo hit Drogheda with two quick goals, took their goals well. Then second half, Drogheda come out, get a goal, and you think, right, comeback's on here. Sligo, I didn't think we're managing the game great, but then they get the third goal to kill it off. But Franz Perrault, our buddy from last season, who was fantastic with that low, and he's yet to score for Drogheda. Oh, he'll be still thinking about how he didn't score in this game. Particularly, Aaron McNally comes on, another ex-Longford man, puts in a wonderful cross off the outside of his boot, right onto the head of Perrault, who's inside the six-yard box, cannot miss from there, and he heads it straight at the goalkeeper. And he had a couple of moments like that in the game on Friday, Perrault. He just doesn't seem to have hit his straps yet up there. But look, a good result for Sligo, but I think Drogheda very, very unfortunate not to get something from this game.
Yeah, they really needed Perrault to be putting away some of these chances, because they seem to be creating chances, and you know, they're not getting bit asunder in any game of note. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not getting hammered at all. But like, two very well taken goals, to be fair, by Mata. I'd be a bit disappointed with the defending from Drogheda, but it wasn't criminal either, that we've seen in some of the other games this weekend. But I think your point about Perrault is very true. I would have expected him to have a couple of goals by now, because as I said, Drogheda are creating chances. You know, they're not at nothing either. So but yeah, I think the goal I'd be most disappointed with from a Drogheda's point of view is the second one. You know, whatever about 1-0 down, and even I think Kev was saying it last season, if you stick in, and I think it's a motto to open UCD when they get into the Premier Division, stay in the game. If you have to go 1-0 down, that's fine, hang out in there, don't concede 2 and 3. And that second goal is a real disappointing one, but it was also nearly a carbon copy of the first one, where Mata pulls off the back of the defender, and the defender turns around, oh crap, there's Mata tapping it in. So good, look, good stuff for Mata. I think that's his third goal since he came back, or fourth goal maybe. So good start for him back in Sligo. Is he's just on loan there, isn't he? Just for half the season, isn't it? So
I
far,
think it's, yeah, I think it is. Yeah,
yeah. So look, they need to obviously Sligo will need to try and keep him. Obviously, I think that would be the ideal option, but you know, maybe try and come up with a solution for when if he has to head off in the summer. But for Drogheda, they'll be disappointed with the goals, but I don't think they were blown away either.
No, I'm just looking as well, because they're playing in the Leinster Senior Cup tonight, and I thought that maybe they're playing Athlone. I thought maybe they might play the likes of Perrault there to see could they get a few goals into him, but he's not in the squad tonight. There is a few senior players there that just need game time that are in their squad, and they're comfortably up. I think 3-0 at half time. Adam Foley's got a couple of goals, but I'm surprised maybe Perrault didn't play there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Mean Machine or something like whatever that film was, you know, batter a few Egots, do you know what I mean? And Egots in that loan, but do you know what I mean? That just play a weaker side, get 4 or 5 goals into him, and see, you know, try and unlock it again. But surprised at that. But yeah, that header, as you mentioned, was a killer blow for Drogheda. Would have really, you know, kept him in touch. But look at these things happen, as the saying goes. And obviously, look at what a lovely little finish from Boveru.
Haha, class.
Yeah, goal of the weekend so far.
Yeah, really enjoyed that.
Goal of the weekend, full stop.
Franz Perrault, the ex-Athlone man, not off to the best of starts at Drogheda. Speaking of Athlone, Dylan Hand is going to join us on this week's show. He signed for Athlone for a second spell during the off-season. And, of course, we've got the Midlands Derby coming up in the First Division this weekend. No Premier Division games, so I'm sure there'll be plenty of Premier Division fans tuning into the First Division game.
Midlands Derby
this weekend. And given the Midlands Derby is on, then a lot of people might decide to watch that one. So look, we're going to be joined now by Dylan Hand on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. I'm delighted to say we're joined on this week's show by Athlone Town defender Dylan Hand. Dylan, great to see you. Although it was a bit of a difficult week for yourself and Athlone personally, you were beaten by UCD and you got yourself a red card. What happened there?
I did indeed. Pleasure to be on the show. Thanks very much for having me. Yeah, we didn't start off great. Now, UCD played very good, to be fair. But yeah, unfortunately, on my birthday as well, I got a red card. Just one of them moments where it's a last-ditch tackle where I went in thinking I'd fully get the ball and just completely missed the ball. So there's no argument.
Not the card you were hoping for?
No, not at all.
Rumour has it you're doing that to duck the Midlands Derby. Any truth in that?
I know. Just the one thing I thought about once I got sent off, I was like the likes of Kyle O'Connor and stuff like that text me saying, oh yeah, at the game next week and stuff like that. So it's just frustrating, but you couldn't write it really, to be honest. It's just the one game that you're looking forward to, and it's the one game I get sent off for.
Yeah, I suppose we'll start there and we'll address the elephant in the room. Obviously, you were subject to one of the more bizarre transfer incidents during the off-season. Longford Town initially announced you as having re-signed. For any of our listeners that don't know, you were with Longford last season. And then a couple of days later, Athlone announced you as signed. And obviously, it's Athlone you're playing for this season. So can you tell us what happened there?
Yeah, I think it was just a bit of a mix-up, to be honest with you. There's no hard feelings there at all, but basically just probably October, November time where you get the phone calls off a few clubs and stuff like that. I spoke to Hendo. Obviously, he asked would I sign back. I said, yeah, look, I'm happy to sign back. Like, that was over the phone or whatever, however. But then I went away and came back and stuff like that. And then it was a couple of weeks since I spoke to him, and there was one or two other clubs trying to get on to me. And I was sort of just in between weighing up, seeing what the best option was, like either with work and travel and stuff like that. So the best one was Athlone for me, however. It just the way it came out, it was just not the way I wanted it at all. So just, I remember seeing the announcement from Longford and I was like, oh God, what's going to happen here now? So, and it's not the publicity you want at all, you know, but there's no hard feelings there between me and Hendo, hopefully not anyways. And Longford, like, I love my time there. So it was just what suited me a bit more at the moment in time.
Yeah, obviously it brought a lot of attention on you on social media. I'm not sure if you're on Twitter, but obviously there was probably a 24-hour period there where there was a bit of banter flying back and forth between different fan groups and stuff. But did that kind of put you in a bit of an awkward spot?
Yeah, it's not one of them things that I like the attention of, to be honest with you. I never wanted it to be that way, obviously. But like, I had a feeling even going from Longford to Athlone to be a little bit, but just the way it happened, it's just obviously exploded a little bit more. But I'm not on Twitter, so my girlfriend was showing me the retweets and stuff like that at the time. So it was funny, to be fair, like, but again, never wanted it to happen like that.
Yeah, you can look back and laugh on it now, I suppose. How are you settling back in at Athlone? Just like you two spells at Longford, and this is your second spell at Athlone now as well. It's funny old game football, how it works.
Yeah, I'm also going in a roundabout here, going from Longford to Athlone for the second time. But I know, it's a good little club, like, you know, there's a lot of people that are still there from when I was there before there and stuff like that. So I was able to settle in, no problem. And the Irish lads welcomed me in very well. And I know a good few of them from previous years of playing with them as well. So it's going all good so far, yeah.
Yeah, what was your first season at Athlone?
The year after we got promoted at Longford.
So 2021. Yeah. So I suppose the club has changed a little bit in regards to the whole Vallejo thing, even though there's probably a lot of mystery. I don't know how much you know about it either, but have you noticed much change just from being a player at the club? Is there vastly different things behind the scenes that you've noticed, or is it much the same club really?
I think it's more or less the same, really. I think it's just a few different overheads along with the Athlone owners and stuff like that as well. So obviously there's overseas people coming in, players and stuff like that. So I think it's just more of a full-time structure for the foreign lads coming over and stuff like that. Like you can see last year with Paddy that was with Athlone, he went to Galway, and then Francis who went to Drogheda as well. So it's just, I think it's a stepping stone for the Vallejo boys to come over here and just show how good they are and just hopefully get a good move like that.
Is there any of the lads that have come over, as you said there, Franz Perrault was the standout last year and Paddy Hickey was very, very good as well. Is there anyone that's come in from overseas this year that's really caught your eye and said this lad could go places in this league or beyond?
Off the top of my head, not at the moment, just off form. Like, we haven't been playing well in the last two or three games, so it's hard to pick anyone out of the hat, really. But there is good players that have come over, especially the young lads as well. There's some young lads there that are about 18, 19, 20, and you can see that they have a good bit of spark about them, but they just need to get that opportunity just to show what they can do, and hopefully that does happen for them in the near future as well.
Yeah, as you said, their form hasn't been fantastic, I suppose, the last few weeks. You got off to a flying start, hammering Wexford in your first game, but has it been defensively where the issues have lay since then? You've conceded a lot of goals in recent games.
Yeah, I think the goals are just silly goals. Like the ones against Cove, obviously, all came in the second half. And you know yourself what it's like to go down there where the wind's flying against you and the rain's coming in the same direction and it's a mucky pitch and stuff like that. So we sort of played into their game where we gave them set pieces and corners and stuff like that. And that's where they managed to get the goals from. Finn Harps, I think it was just a completely off day. And the same with UCD as well. But yeah, most goals were avoidable, to be fair. And the one against Kerry obviously was a worldly, but again, it is very avoidable if we press as a team and stuff and don't let them in that part of the pitch, you know.
The second half in Cove, which was obviously played in Turner's Cross, was that particularly damaging mentally? I mean, to throw the game away like that, 3-1 lead and looking like you were going to record back-to-back wins. I mean, people would have been saying, wow, look at that loan, they're off to a flyer here, 6 points from six and scoring six goals in the process, but you just collapsed in that second half. Has that had a long-term effect?
Maybe. It's hard to tell, really, because in that game, we were cruising. Like, we were up 2-0. I scored that day as well, so I was buzzing as well. Like, we went in on top of half-time, 2-0 up, and we sort of sat off in the second half, but to be honest, it just played into their favour. But yeah, it's just the fact, like, if you said to me before we went down there, we took take a draw coming back up, I would have said, yeah, you know what? It's a hard place to go against Cove. A point is fair. But it's just the fact that we were winning 3-1 and we got back to 3-3 is sort of disheartening. But I don't think that sort of came into the games after that. I'm not too sure. But the game against Finn Harps, it's a long trip up there. I think we started off slow and that's where they got the goals from and we just couldn't get back into the game then.
I mean, going forward, it looks like you've got some really good attacking players. I know Jamal Ibrahim, the one over from Longford, he's already got a goal, like a very pacey player. Dean Ebby, another ex-Longford man, he had a good start to the season and like he's stepped down probably a few levels to sign for at loan. So it looks like the sort of team, if you can get things together defensively, you've definitely got the players to hurt most teams in this division.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Like Dean, he's a very good player. He's a very good hold-up play and link-up play and stuff like that. And for a tall guy, he's very technical. Like you wouldn't expect that with a lot of tall players sometimes. But like you said, I think if we just get the form right and just close up in the defence, hopefully, we can hurt teams, like you said, going forward, because we do have exciting attacking threats there.
Look, the next game is obviously a big one for both Longford and Athlone, because Athlone have suffered a little bit of a slump in form and Longford are still looking for their first win. You kind of know what it means because you've played on both sides of the divide and everyone knows what it means to the fans as well. But I'm just wondering, even generally, aside from the Longford Athlone thing, but like derbies in general these days, does it mean as much to players as it used to, or even does it even mean half as much as it does to the fans?
I think it's a big thing for the fans. Like obviously if you're from Athlone and Longford and stuff like that, it is big because it's the bragging rights really at the end of the day, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But as players, like some players probably if they're from Athlone, Longford, it would mean a lot more to them and stuff like that. And like myself, I know both sides of the camp now where I'm good friends with some of the lads on the Longford team and I play for Athlone now. So I'm sort of going out there, like obviously knowing a lot of the players, but when you're out there on the pitch, like you do realise it's a derby, like you need to win them games because at the end of the day, it's probably the most important games for them midline clubs at the end of the day, really, isn't it? Like,
yeah, when you were with Longford in your first spell, it was during a time where Longford would never lose to Athlone. They went nearly 10 years without losing the game. And then last season, obviously, the likes of Perot came in. And actually, just before the season before, they started to win a couple of games at the end of that season at Athlone. And then the last season, I don't think they lost any of the four derbies to Longford, which was kind of unheard of over the last 10 or 20 years or so. So what's the mood like, despite the little slump in form? Are the Athlone boys confident given their decent record over the last few derbies?
Yeah, look, like I said, I think I played in one game last year with Longford against Athlone. It was the one where we lost 3-2 at home there in Bishopsgate. So that was it was a great game, but obviously for a Longford perspective, it was very disheartening.
It wasn't you that got done by Perot, was it?
No, it was actually Gavin. Gav got done, yeah. If it was me, I'd be jumping on his back. But look, obviously, it's a different situation. But
there was some piece of skill. There was some piece of skill.
It was unbelievable. It was very good. So fair play to him for that. But again, I'd be jumping on his back, pulling down his shorts or whatever, just to stop him going through on goal. Don't know if it would work now, but...
Yeah, he takes some stopping, to be fair.
Yeah, he's a big guy, to be fair to him. What was I going to say to you? Yeah, I think the camp at the moment is very good, but we're focusing on the game tonight. Obviously, we have Drogheda in the Leinster Senior Cup, so that's up in Drogheda tonight at 7:45. So the focus is on that, where I think he'll probably give lads 50, 60 minutes that have been playing most weeks, and then hopefully bring in the lads that haven't been playing as much minutes as well. So I'll probably end up playing the full game because obviously I'm suspended now for Friday. So I'll be watching that in the stands with me now it's gone, unfortunately.
Be nice to, I suppose, get a run in that competition. I know you've come through the group stages, but to get to a semi-final or a final, I mean, trophies don't come around that often to clubs like Longford and that alone. So
yeah,
good opportunity for you there tonight against a Drogheda team who you'd imagine will probably field a weakened side.
Yeah, like you said, it's a good opportunity to go win a trophy. It would be good, but obviously the main thing is the league. Like, you want to be doing well in the league, so I don't want to take the complete focus off that, just to focus on the Leinster Senior Cup. But like you said, it would be very good just to come and win a trophy. Yeah.
And just on the gaffer there, obviously I spoke to him once or twice last season. He kind of came in surrounded by mystery, and we don't really hear too much from him, to be honest. But what's he like to work with?
He's a lovely fella, to be fair. He's very quiet. Like, obviously, his English is pretty good for only coming over and stuff like that. So you have to get used to that kind of thing. Like, obviously, being in Ireland, you're not 100% used to different managers coming over and stuff. You're just used to an Irish accent. But, he's very good at what he does. He doesn't speak a lot, but when he does speak, obviously, you do listen to him, and he's well-respected and stuff like that, so...
Would he take most of the session, or does he have his coaches? What kind of manager is he? Hands off, hands on?
He's a bit of both. Sort of, he'd let the coach do their thing during the week, and then when it comes to sort of the Wednesday when we're doing a bit of match prep and stuff, he'll step in and take control a little bit more then. But yeah, he is more just like sit back and watch now and then. Yeah.
And in comparison to, say, for example, Stephen Henderson, who you worked with last season, are they chalk and cheese or?
Henderson was sort of similar, where he wouldn't be always like taking control of the training, but like I said, when it comes to Thursday, and if it came to like shape and stuff like that, he'd sort of just put his input in and his opinion in. But yeah, Henderson, he's a great lad. I'm looking forward to seeing him on Friday as well. So
we'll keep an eye. That could be a famous handshake.
I don't know if they'd be allowed on the pitch for that handshake now, but.
I was going to say to you, before you came back to Longford last season, obviously you're up north with Warrenpoint, and it really seemed to mature your game. And I think there's been examples of a few Irish lads that have gone up there recently. I think probably Conor Keely's probably the standout example, went up to Ballymena after never really, I don't think he ever played in the Premier Division down here, and then obviously got his move to Drogheda and did so well. He's now with St. Pat's, so a great example of what going up and experience in a different league can do. Do you think it was a big benefit to you, even though it ended obviously a little bit messily at Warrenpoint with everything that happened at the club there, but do you think it was a worthwhile experience for you?
Yeah, I think it was good, to be fair. Like, it's a completely different ball game up there, where like obviously down here is men's football as well, but up there it's physical, direct. Mm. So you're dealing with like big lads, 6'4" strikers and wingers and stuff, that it's just getting pumped up to them, so it does toughen you up in that sort of sense. But then you get the other teams, like obviously the same way you get Shamrock Rovers and stuff like that, you're just pure football. So like, it was a good mix of both. But I thought it was a very good maturing stepping stone for my career at the moment. And obviously, like you said, with Conor Keely, I think he was with Cavan Teely before he went up there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So like, he went up there, and to be fair, every time we played him, he was outstanding. So like I said, I think it does just mature you that a little bit more. But yeah.
And you'll be at the derby on Friday night.
I will be, yeah. I'll be watching from the stands.
What type of reception are you expecting from the Longford fans?
To be fair, if I was playing, it might have been different now. I obviously would have heard a few chants and stuff like that. Probably a few words been thrown my direction, but look, it's part of the game. There's no hard feelings. I'd enjoy that. Like, it's all part of the game, so.
Yeah, well, look, everyone's looking forward to it. Unfortunately, you won't be involved, but look, another three derbies to come down the line. Just on that, did you play in the Leinster Senior Cup one in pre-season, no?
I did, yeah, in Athlone, yeah.
Will that have any effect on Friday, no?
I don't think so, to be honest. That was part of pre-season early, wasn't it? I think it's when it comes to the league, a bit different, but... Yeah, hopefully, or our side of things, we can put things right and get 3 points. But obviously, Longford will be looking for their first victory as well. So it's contentions for a very good game.
Yeah. Look, Dylan, thanks so much for speaking to us. As I said, you're going to miss out on Friday, but plenty more derbies to come this season. So I'm sure we'll bump into each other at some stage.
I'm sure we will, definitely. Yeah. Thanks very much for having me on.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, thanks to Dylan Han for joining us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Keep your nut down in Lizzie Woolen on Friday, Dylan. But it wasn't a good night at the office for Athlone on Friday, guys. They went down 3-0 at the Bowl against UCD, and Dylan Han was sent off, as we discussed in the interview with him there, so he misses out on the game against Longford. But the state of some of the defending now, that's a phrase I'm probably going to be using for vast majority of the First Division games that were played at the weekend. There was some atrocious defending and goalkeeping on show in a lot of the games. And Athlone were up there as some of the guiltiest culprits of the weekend for the defending.
Yeah, it was Cat, wasn't it? Even like, you know, Dylan was came on the show this week, but he had a nightmare for sending off. Apart from getting sent off, bad enough, but like he played the lad on as well to even get into that position, and maybe that's why he, you know, made that rash decision to go in like that and take your man down. But look, a great win for UCD. I think that's the. Is that their second win of the season so far?
To be brave.
Yeah, so the one they really bloody needed. Some of their results so far this season haven't been great at all. So a good 3-0 home win, can't really complain about that at all, even if it is against a 10-man Athlone who just haven't been going great so far this season. That's a long way away since they opened the season with a 3-0 win at home to Wexford. A couple of poor results in that time and another loss away from home here, but great win for UCD. They definitely needed it.
Now, whenever you're thinking about and talking about bad defending, Bray are usually quite high up on the list of suspects. Some absolutely woeful defending again from Ian Ryan's team at the weekend as they went down 2-0 in Turner's Cross against Cork City.
Yeah. Keeping was equally as poor. A few stinkers here, but I know we haven't really come on to keepers. I think the Athlone keeper Minogue made a hames of.
Oh, he did, yeah.
The second one for UCD as well, which wasn't ideal, but really bad defending and keeping from Bray here, but I think even the second one from the keeper was as bad.
Yeah, I thought that too.
He just stood there and he just put out the hand. It's like, I hope this fella kicks it at me rather than doing anything about it. And, you know, next thing you know, it's 2-0 and kind of that's all she wrote at that point. So, yeah, I think not good play from keepers or defenders this weekend. And
I know Ian Ryan, he spoke to off the ball after the game and he was talking about how the two goals were put on a plate for Cork and how the defending needs to be better, but like, this is going on a season and a quarter now at Bray. Yeah. And I mean, we talked about it before as well, as entertaining as his Wexford team were to watch, they couldn't defend either. This is a big concern. If Bray want to be competitive this season, it was the defending that cost them a place in the playoffs last season, and they'll come up short again this season if this continues.
Oh, they will, but even like if you look at like the opening goal so early on in the game, less than 10 minutes gone. Cole did well, I think it was, to out the left.
Yeah.
To win back the ball and then runs into the box.
Yeah.
Hoof it away, pal. I don't know. Do something. Don't do what you're doing. And then the keeper doesn't bail him out either, as I always like to talk about. Is your keeper going to bail you out with stuff? No is the answer here. And unfortunately, within, I think 20 minutes gone in the game, the Bray were 2-0 down, and think that was going to be the end of it. Like, there was no way that Bray were going to get back into the game. But look, that's just part of it, I think, at the moment for Bray. I don't think they're going to have a fantastic season.
No. Another clean sheet for Cork, though. I think that's 4 from 5. So they're motoring along nicely without even having to play that well, which is, I suppose it's encouraging that they're winning games so comfortably without playing that well, but you'd like to see them maybe move up a gear or two in the coming weeks. But if they're going to be gifted goals like this, you think of the goals they were gifted against Longford recently, then maybe they won't have to move up too many gears to win this division.
No, it's a
weak division again this season.
Took the words out of my mouth. Yeah, not enough of a challenge going on at all. So
there's obviously a lot of football to be played. Like, you're looking for teams to improve as the season goes on. But
just when we're thinking about keeper making the Hames and stuff, there was an indirect free kick. Did you see that?
There was, yeah. I haven't seen one of them in a long time. I enjoyed seeing that.
Yeah, what was he at? Like,
I don't know what happened there.
But I think that's a good, you know, as you just said there, totally switched off. You know, not paying attention to what they're at. You know, complete like lack of concentration. It appears in lots of different ways, particularly at the back. So
it would have been a great finish by Jack Doherty. But you come on, pal, you've got to smash them. You've 20 lads in the wall in front of you there. You've got to just try and smash it through them and hope it gets a deflection. Here's Jack Doherty. Yes. Look at me. I'm going to put it in the postage stamp. He's some bio. right, moving on. Wexford 1, Finn Harps 2. Some bad defending in this game as well. we talked about success, obviously, all the goals he's scoring this season. But he played, I think it was the winner, or was it the equaliser? I think it was the winner. He played a big part and a lovely pass on the outside of the foot and set up a big chance, which Finn Harps took.
Yeah, like Wexford started off well, had a couple of chances and went 1-0 up, but as we've highlighted a couple of times, poor defending, poor keeping, poor everything lets Harps back into the game. But it was the equaliser, actually. I think because I actually watched some of this or had it on the phone in Daily Mount on Friday for a few minutes. Excuse me. And it was just rubbish keeping. Like, I don't know why. I don't think it was ever needed to be saved with the hand. Like, obviously, I'm not a keeper, so I don't know what I'm talking about, really. But I don't know, boot it away. You know, stop it with your foot. Like, the most important thing is stopping the ball going in. And it was so close to his foot, but he went down with his hand to try and stop it. So. Yeah. It squeezed in under him. That put them 1-1, and I didn't really know what to make. It's not surprising that Harps, considering how they're playing this season, going on to get the winner. And I think it was late on as well that they got the winner. But it was also weak enough defending. Like, no one was there to stop the cross. I know there was some attempt to block it down, but there was only one lad in the box. He might have taken a few touches on it. It was a Cawley, was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You might take a couple of touches in the box and then smash it in, like. So you'd have to really, you know, ask some questions there as to what was going on at the back for Wexford. So look, that's the size of it for them. They need to get a bit of a hold of it at the back.
And as for Kerry, they picked up their second point of the season on Friday with a point at home to Cove, a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I think I got that right.
I think we all did, funny enough.
Oh, crap. Jesus, I was so far away in the predictions that I needed a bit.
No, me and you both had it. Both had the 1-1. Anthony last week, he was playing for us. He went for 2-1 Kerry. But me and you both were thinking along the same lines here. And we were right. 1-1 draw.
Fair enough. Yeah, decent result for Kerry. They'll be disappointed.
They had a great chance to win it right at the end again too. And it was Kelleher. Oh. Kelleher that missed the penalty in the last minute against Treaty, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was to rescue a point, I think, was it? Yeah, it was, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was.
He had a great chance here at the end. He gets the ball in the box, and they actually have a 2v1, and he tries to spin and take the shot on himself, and it gets blocked out for a corner, whereas if he rolled it across, it was a tap-in on. So, yeah, I know it's tough to be critical of Kerry because of, you know, that they're so fresh into the league, but... But you've got to take chances like that when they come. They're just maybe lacking that little bit of composure when it comes down to the crunch.
Well, that's it. Like, and you're gonna have some of that as well. It's it was a good equaliser from Cove, actually. I can't remember who scored, but really nice finish. But I think the thing for Kerry is like they struggle to keep their noses ahead. They've gone ahead in a couple of games.
Already. Yeah, they didn't stay in front long either, did they? Was it 4 minutes or?
Yeah.
If I recall rightly, I'll just have a double check here, but I think it was about four. Yeah, five
something,
minutes. Five
something
minutes,
like yeah. that. Yeah, yeah. You know, you need to, I don't know, grab a hold of it a bit better than what they're doing so far. And yeah, look, it's obviously disappointing, but look, it's good that they're adding a few points early to, you know, onto the table.
Must back to back draws now, actually. So,
Longford are playing them sometime in April, I think, down there. So
yeah, 5th of April.
We don't want them to get too many ADs before we head down there. Where we go, will we?
Oh, no doubt. Get on the plane.
Get on the plane again. All right, yeah. We may take that one offline. but yeah, look at decent result again for Kerry, but they're going to start, it must be getting so old now.
Yeah.
Being ahead so often and then, you know, yeah, no. Yeah. It just must be like just soul destroying. Yeah. But look at that's the size of it.
Right. Moving on to the predictions this weekend. Obviously, we've got no Premier Division games this weekend, so it's all eyes on the Forest Division. So if you're in the Dublin area or wherever, if you're near, you know, the likes of Bray, I suppose, is the closest this weekend. It's a shame maybe UCD aren't playing at home. You probably would have got all the heads turning up at that. I think me and you went to a couple of games in the bowl before and we were like, oh, there's Keith Long and there's Bradley and there's Kenny and there's the who's who. But yeah, they're away this week, UCD. So Bray is probably the closest for any of our Dublin listeners. But aside from that, if you can't get to a game, then do tune into some of the games on LOA TV this week. But we've got Elon Musty playing this week. He usually likes to throw us an old question on the BTS hotline. So he said, Elon, come on and play with us this week in the Predictions League. Just update the listeners on how things stand at the moment. So last week, Gary, you came out on top last week. Now, the points tally wasn't massive, but that's the first time this season you've outscored us. So 6 points for you last week, four for me, and four for Anthony, who is playing for the listeners. So the latest league table, you're bottom on 18. I'm second on 24 and the listeners still lead the way on 26 points. And just to remind our listeners how this works. So you get a point if you get the correct result. So for example, last week I went for a Cork win against Bray, but I had the wrong scoreline. So I only got a point, but if I got the correct scoreline, which I did in the Kerry v Cove game, then you get the 3 points. So that's how this all works. And I think since this is
high tech stuff here,
I think since this is a first division game week only, we're going to play for double points this week to make it interesting. And we'll start, Gary, with the biggest game of the lot. And it's the Midlands Derby, El Clásico de Midlands.
Yeah. Oh, it's the biggest game on this island this weekend. It's really hard to know because, you know, Longford have played so few games.
There must be serious ring rust in that Longford team right now.
Yeah, there's either ring rust or like, you know, absolutely chomping to get a game. I hope it's the latter rather than too much ring rust. Yeah, look, I have to go with the town.
Which one?
Real town. At Lone Town, the only town. Yeah, no, it has to be. I'm gonna go for 2-1 to Longford. I know I obviously disappointed with some of the Longford bits of play this season in the two games that they've played, but I think Athlone have played 5 games. They're without Dylan Hand, who is their starting defender, but they have been crap in a lot of games.
I think they have a couple of lads called up to international squads this week as well, so I assume they're probably out of this game as well. So,
lovely! Come on, lads! Come on, Longford! Get your arse in gear! Get off the bottom spot! But Longford need to win sooner rather than later because, yeah, they've played fewer games. But like even just looking at the table there, you see, yeah, 2 games played. Everybody else with 4 and 5, but just mentally get off that, off the bottom. With no points on the board either, so you kind of want to get a bit of life in the table position, even though it is so early on in the season. So yeah, 2-1 to the town. Just go and do it, boys, please. Yeah.
Well, they definitely can't afford to be losing this one, Longford. Anyway, it is so hard to predict these games when you've got one side that's played so little football, but look, it's clear that Athlone defensively are very vulnerable, but I suppose people could say the same about Longford. They've conceded 5 goals in 2 matches. They've made some very, very bad individual errors, but I suppose individual errors are one thing, whereas you look at Athlone structurally, they seem to be more open maybe at the back than Longford are. Yeah. So I'm going to do what I normally do and temper expectations a bit. I'll go for a draw just because Longford have played so little football. But yeah, Longford do really need to be, they need to get points on the board ASAP, or panic will set in a little bit. So I'll go for a 1-1 draw here. Elon Musty, I don't actually know who Elon supports, but he's going for a 2-1 win to Longford. So he's a good guy in my books. Yeah. Right, Bray against Wexford. These were two teams that were touted as, you know, the most likely challengers to Cork City, and both of them look nothing like
that.
We didn't say it. Well, I don't know. I'd have to. We'll try and brush it away.
No, we don't want to do that.
Definitely, I think the general consensus was Bray and Wexford would be the teams to go and push, to go and push Cork this season. Bray haven't surprised me. I felt that this was a danger with them this season, their defensive structure. Wexford, I'm probably that bit more surprised about, because they kept everyone that they wanted to keep. They added one or two, but they just
keep her back.
Yeah, they just haven't they haven't got going yet for whatever reason. They're away from home here, so I'm not really sure what to think. What way are you thinking on this game?
Well, I think there'll be goals because the defending is poor. 2-2.
You're going 2-2. Okay, I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Bray, just because they're at home.
I feel Bray are going to do something here, but I just think with the defending that Bray are at, you know, the comical decision making at the back that they're doing are going to give Wexford an opportunity. So
yeah, I'm thinking just from a set piece perspective, I can see Cole getting a goal in this one.
All right.
Up from the back. I just think.
You see, I can see him getting a goal, but also.
Very likely. Yeah. Elon going 1-1 here. So a different range of scorelines there in that one. Harps against Kerry. I suppose Harps be strong favourites here, but they were against Cove a couple of weeks ago, and we know how that ended. So I suppose Kerry have got to try and take some learnings from that, go up there and be as rigid and as solid as they possibly can be. But
imagine that journey.
Yeah.
Oh, mother of God. I think Harps are going to win this, and I think they're going to win it. Not comfortably, but I think they'll be professional and get it out over the line. Job done, no bother. I'm going to go 2-0 to Finn Harps. I don't think Kerry are going to get on the score sheet in this one.
I think Harps might make heavy lifting of this, but there's obviously only one way you can predict it. It's a Harps win, so I'm going to go 1-0 to Harps. Elon thinks it'll be more comprehensive. He's going 3-1 to the men from Ballybuffet. Cove against UCD.
Good opportunity here for both teams, nearly. I know that's a contradiction in itself, but excuse me. With the way that UCD have been playing in the last few games, you know, they haven't been exactly motoring. They've lost a couple of games at home as well in that time. So just not clicking at all. Whereas Cove, on the other hand, you know, you don't want to be dropping points to Kerry so early on in the season, because they didn't have a fantastic start as well. I think this will be a tight one. Not going to be too exciting either. I think it's going to be a bit of a poor game. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Okay, Elon goes 2-1 to Cove. I'm finding it very hard to split these two, in all honesty. Yeah. So I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw there myself.
I think if anybody's going to win the game, I think Cove might snatch it. But I think the fact that they're still playing in Turner's Cross might be a bit of a...
it's not overly helpful. And then we've got the meeting of the top two. Cork City go to the Markets Fields to take on Treaty United.
What do you think? You can go for this one. Let you start.
As we were saying earlier, Cork haven't wowed anyone yet, really, have they? Treaty have had a very solid start, but they had the week off last week, which might actually be no bad thing to prepare for a game like this, but I think in their game prior to that against
the week off.
Who was their game previous to that? Was it Athlone that drew 2-2 with
Bray?
They were very open at the back. Treaty. Yeah. Cork have been very solid. I think this might be tight enough. I don't think I see Elon's here. He's going for a 4-1 win to Cork. I don't think it'll be that.
What?
I don't think it'll be that comprehensive. But
I just
think Cork know how to manage these sort of games. I'm gonna go 2-1 to Cork here. Treaty are gonna have to play right up to their best. They're gonna have to be
cooking.
Yeah, no mistakes here.
I'm gonna go 1-0 Cork.
Okay.
I think Corkles, will have done a good bit of homework here on Treaty, and also just the fact that Cork have conceded so few goals this season.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me.
Solid at the back, yeah.
I'm just gonna have a look at the league table here in terms of they have the best record so far with what they've conceded one goal in 5 games. Treaty, all the talk of me saying they're a bit more open, they're the next best with 3 conceded in 4, which is still a very good record. But I just think they were very lucky to get out of town with a point against Bray last time. After that, then your next two best teams, 3 teams actually, have all conceded 5 goals, and one of them's Longford, who've obviously only played the 2 games. So it just goes to show defensively, this Cork team looked miles clear of everyone else.
That's and as appears to be now a fact, clean sheets wins you the first division here. So
yeah,
I think you're right. It's going to be in and around. It's going to be a very tight game, but I don't think Treaty are going to score here. So 1-0 Cork.
Okay, right. So that's the first division predictions for the weekend. That moves us on to the BTS hotline for this week, Gary. And our old pal Git is first in line. He was first on the blower to get in touch with us. He says, at what age do you stop bringing home results? Ask him for a friend. And he's got an old angry face emoji there. So Git, obviously, for anyone that doesn't know, a St. Pat's fan, very disappointed with the result against Shells.
Bringing home results?
Yeah, what type, bringing home.
Don't ask me. I've been bringing home results for the last 25 years.
Funny enough, I was going to say, I think me and you actually talked about this on the pod before. I don't think it's as bad for us as it used to be. Because we're so focused on, obviously, for a home game in particular, we're out there setting up the stream. At the end of it, if the stream's gone well, you're like, oh, well, at least that's something. You're down there and you have to immediately think, right, let's run down and do interviews. You're kind of that bit more distracted. And when you go home, you're like, ah, look, it was a good night's work above all else. Before I started doing all of that type of stuff, I know if Longford lost any sort of a game, I was locking myself in a room for 2 days and not talking to anyone. So I think in that regard.
Yeah, no, like definitely, and I'd say a lot of people are like that, especially when you're, United and Liverpool played in the cup and FA Cup was it at the weekend?
Yeah,
and like some of the talk about it, like sorry, people, you're all watching it on the telly, like shut up, like it's a. I don't know. It's like, I don't know, Richard Hillman on Coronation Street. Like, it's all a television show, lad. It doesn't matter. Definitely taking it home with you. But I think what was worse, and I've kind of got better letting it go a bit more. I think I remember I was on a J1. Do you remember we lost the Cove like 4-3 in before we won 4-3 in another home. Yeah, you were probably at the both of them.
I was at them, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember I was buzzing for like 2 days after hearing that, and all I was doing was like looking at updates on some app. You know, this is what, 10, 12 years ago that was.
Yeah.
Whereas now, But even back then when we lost that game down in Cove, I was annoyed for a couple of days and I was out abroad having a ball and I was still annoyed about it. Definitely I've gotten a bit better at compartmentalizing it. in the last 2 years.
Like, even me and you travelled around the country in 2021 when Longford were in the Premier, getting bet every single week, and we weren't too bad. We took it well, and we were saying if we took this worse, you know, we'd be in an awful position here.
We knew
the position we were in, that we were lucky to go to a lot of them COVID games. So we've got a bit better with it, but definitely I can see Git's point of view as well. It really does shape your week ahead, doesn't it? We've got a Shells fan here saying, what nationality is Connor Kearns? And this has got a lot of likes, this tweet, so I assume he's probably having a pop at the fact that Brian Maher got a call up to train with the Irish squad ahead of Connor Kearns. What would be your point of view on that?
I don't know. Call up a lad from, I don't know, home farm. What difference does it make? You have three blessed with keepers at the minute at national level. Brian Maher is, with the greatest respect to him, and I know he was in the under-21 squad and starting keeper for the under-21s for years. But all he's doing is picking up balls and washing gloves or whatever he does there. He's a four-try. It's not happening. It's never going to happen. Forget about it. Like, it's not a runner. It's just a waste of time thinking about it. Like, last year with Talbot, it was the same. Total waste of time. Just that he was knocking around. Well, Talbot, what are you at this weekend? You want to come up and... No, it's not happening. And to go a point further, like all the talk about... Who was the talk about last year? Was it Jack Burton? No, it wasn't Jack. He didn't play that much.
Frugia.
It's a Frugia, yeah. Mm. Oh. No. And I'd love to see more League of Ireland players in the squad. We're just not near it. Not even in the same parish. Same diocese.
I agree at the minute, unfortunately. Elon Musty, who's obviously playing in the Predictions League this week, he didn't let us down. He's got his usual question in there. Best and worst kits in each division. It's kind of difficult when you don't have them all in front of you. I just want to say, I think the Longford kit got a lot of stick, and every time I see it now, I really like it. The Centenary kit. I'm a big fan of it.
It's much better in person.
Really,
the picture was a disgust. Now, I will say, last year, I really liked the stripes on last year's kit for Longford, but I saw a picture of it sometime in December. I was like, what idiot picked this?
That's and a huge thing. Lovely. Until you see the jersey, you kind of...
Yeah, I never really get that much stock.
One jersey I obviously have seen is the Dundalk jersey. And I thought, when I seen it at first...
sleep beside it every night.
When I seen it at first, the home one, I thought it looked very smart. But when I seen it in person, I wasn't that keen on it. I love the Dundalk away one, the pink and black. So for me, I think I'm a big fan of that kit. I think it's very smart. Worst kit in either division? I'm not sure.
Some of them third kits are brutal. Not that I can think of any. I think the Rovers third kit the other night was nice.
Rovers home kit is poor.
There was a good bit of stick about that when it was released. The Rovers fans weren't happy with it either.
It doesn't look great.
What is it? Yeah. What one was it? Just can't really think of many.
Yeah, Drogheda had a third kit on there the other day. It was a bit strange.
I don't like the colour scheme on that.
Even their away one, the white, I'm not that... Their home one, actually, I'm not that sure on.
Right, so three bad kits from Drogheda. I think Galway's is okay.
Derry's is very smart.
Yeah, that's the only smart thing about them at the minute.
Right, but anyway, listeners can give us their thoughts on jerseys. We move on. Aina, is the Vallejo thing a negative for Athlone? They took the blue away from us as well. So that actually went over my head. I didn't realise this. Despite the fact I've watched a couple of games with that loan, didn't really click with me that there's no blue and black stripes anymore. They seem to be gone black and white, which is the Vallejo colours. So, yeah, that's definitely a way to piss people off. And we've spoken a lot about how Athlone need to work harder to re-engage with the community. And I think that's an own goal they've scored there, definitely. The Vallejo thing, like we've kind of talked about it before on the show, like it's so difficult to assess because we don't really know anything about them. We don't know what their goals and their targets are. But definitely I think that's an own goal they've scored there with the colours.
Did they give a shite?
That's, we don't know, do we? That's what I mean. Like, you don't know. Is
well, that's the point.
Like, you'd imagine their first goal, you would imagine the players they're bringing over, you know, put these in the shop window. And they've already got, you know, obviously one of them lads to move up to the Premier Division. They'd love to, I'm sure, move them on to Europe at some stage, some of these players. So you'd imagine that's number one priority. Number two, like, do they want the first team to get promoted? Would that be helpful? I'd imagine it would be, because it would help them, you know, the players again, shop window. Mm-hmm. Like, is increased attendances, engage with the community, is that anywhere on their agenda? We don't know, because we don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we don't know who these people are, really. So it's very difficult to assess, which in itself isn't a great thing. Brian Doherty, Derry fan. As soon as you lads backed Derry for a win, we filled the togs, cursed.
Yeah, sorry. Well, actually, you know, it's obviously not our fault. There's, you know, ring up Rory there. Brian, I'm afraid I was expecting a humdinger of some description, because I thought there'd be a good reaction from Bowes. Derry need to be going down. They had a good couple of results in Daly Mountain the last couple of years as well. I thought, yeah, this is it. This is going to be game of the weekend, let's say. And my friend over from abroad, so managed to get the tickets in the jolly, blah, 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 blah. And we should have went to the bowl. That's where we should have went. But yeah, no, decided, no, let's go further afield for me anyway. I was just so disappointed with Derry, like their negative style of football. I don't think there was much fill in the togs. It was just the whole approach to the game was wrong. And they didn't take it to Bowes half enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we see how far away, how I don't think they're going to be real genuine challengers for the title this season.
Jack, who's a Waterford fan, says, we were poor against Dundalk, very flat performance. The lads look wrecked, several going down with cramp in the game. Four Fridays away in a row, last two on Astro doesn't help. I know it's been talked about before, but those pitches are a disgrace. Injuries picked up in both games. Apart from that, a league full of very poor goalkeeping performances so far this season, as we've talked about tonight. Sam Sargent was absolutely immense against Dundalk. We're very lucky we managed to convince him to come back on board for another year, as he had offers from elsewhere. Now, I actually highlighted Sargent, I think, the week before, 2 weeks ago, that I didn't think he had a great game. What was it? It was the Galway game. He let one through his hands, and I said I wouldn't be fully convinced with him, but he did make some very good saves against Dundalk. But as I pointed out, Dundalk, some of the strikers, Elliot in particular, gave him a chance with some of the shots straight down the middle. Like, a lot of the saves he made were what you'd describe as power saves, a lot of power behind the shots, but not really picking out a corner. So I won't just go hyperbole yet on Sam Sargent, but yeah, he definitely had a good game. I actually think Munro actually made a couple of good saves in the game for Dundalk as well, a keeper that had a bit of a struggling start. So that's good to see a couple of keepers there with performances. But
I think we'll see Shelby again, do you?
Injured is the line at the moment.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
What was I going to say? Just on the pitches, he said obviously the Astro pitches. I've never, ever, ever looked forward to a game on an Astro pitch as much as this Friday. Thank God at Athlone play on Astro.
Because we're guaranteed a game.
Well, unless there's a natural disaster in Lizzie Wallen this week. Tornado fucking flies through the place or something.
I'll tell you, we're going to be blessed in the next few weeks with extra games, which is a pain in the arse.
I love it, but I don't think I'm driving to Wexford of a Tuesday night or whenever that game's going to be. I'll go to Bray. It's not far away. That's a Monday coming up soon. I don't mind that, but I can tip over there after work. I can't see myself going down to Wexford for a rearranged game of a Tuesday.
Why not?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, your dedication is waning here.
Getting old, maybe sensible, might be no harm. Brian, who is a Bowes fan, why did Bowes sack Devine with nobody lined up? Kenny was never realistic, was he?
No, there's a lot of jibber jabber about him last week, and he was knocking around. But the offer wasn't probably strong enough for him, and I think
I'd say fair play to Dundalk for being ambitious enough to
Oh yeah, but sure, that's like Longford Town ringing up Mourinho, like, oh, you know, we want to be in the Champions League in 5 years. Like, ambition is one thing, but like, you know, I don't think that was ever a runner. I said it last week that if he goes back to the League of Ireland now, that'll be his lot for his day. He's not going to be, you know, he won't be leaving the League of Ireland then. He doesn't have to make a decision that quickly.
No, it would have been a huge job he was taking on too. He would have needed two or three seasons to get things right there.
Oh yeah, and you know, you don't often get two or three seasons up in Daily Mount to do anything.
Was the injuries now, like we spoke about last week. If it's not Kenny, then whoever's next probably feels a bit underwhelming, no matter who they are.
Yeah, but you just have to get on board with it. Like, you have to support the new lad before he makes a dog's dinner of it later on. I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, like, oh, the board don't have anything to do with football. They just make the money and all this other stuff, and Fendon this and Pender that and Devine and Cronin and all of that stuff. I think a lot of it is the recruitment has just been dire. Lateness, and you know, every player that came in, you know, after the first game or just the week of the first game was like, oh, we've been tracking this player for weeks, months. We've been looking at him for ages. Well, why not do it then? You know, it's all just shy talk, like. And
I'm just cackling to myself here. I just said it before the show ends. I checked the latest score in the Dundalk game. They're still 2-0 down, and I clicked into their latest tweet because I see there was a reply under it, and it's a Dundalk fan, and he just tweeted back, or the Dundalk tweet is first change of the night sees whoever come on forever, still 2-0 to Mockton, and the reply is just fucking boo.
Yeah, well, there you go. What's the score in the other one, the Drogheda game, Drogheda Athlone? You haven't a clue, do you?
Yeah, 4-0 to Drogheda, so at loan, getting a good old baiting before they get another one Friday night.
Oh, you're bomb it.
But look, that's the hotline for this week. So I think that's this week's show. And as I said, Baron and Natural.
We'll be just chilling, Mac, for you. What about Saturday?
I don't really care that much, to be honest.
All right, okay. I'm sure. Sorry, listeners. Yeah. Berko doesn't care, so we don't talk about the national team.
Two friendlies. John O'Shea. Is he in contention for the job? Sure. Who knows what's going on?
Oh, if he gets the job, then the FBI, as I think I said, we need to get the army in to Abbottstown, clear them all out. That's crazy. Because the whole thing is that there's someone else lined up, and John is the interim manager. That doesn't happen exactly like they said it would.
Yeah, so I suppose from that, Sammy Schmodix is the big story. Hopefully he doesn't have a bad burger between now and Saturday. But it's very hard to get into
a bad hint. You know, who knows where he'll go.
It's very hard to get enthused about it, to be honest, isn't it?
I don't know.
Like, friendlies are grim enough as it is. I think me and you spoke about this before. Like, we're both season ticket holders, and we're like, geez, we really need to stop going to these friendlies, and then we still go anyway. But like, especially when there's a manager there who's probably not going to be there in two games' time, it's very hard to be like, oh, I can't wait to go to the Aviva on Saturday.
Yeah. Who are we playing on Saturday? Belgium or?
Belgium, and then Switzerland's on Tuesday.
Right. Jesus, hard work, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the point that was made in lots of places about like how no one was going to go in with those two friendlies lined up. You know what I mean? It was always going to be, Jesus, how am I going to, you know, my first two games are probably going to be two baitings of some description. Just because of who we're playing. Sure, look, probably during the week, I'd say half the Belgian team will come out with some.
I know the last time they came over, it was like a second string squad. That was
2-2 that game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was actually a very good game. A lovely sunny day up in Aviva, and Ogbeni got the overhead kick, but they like didn't bring any of the big stars. So I haven't looked at their squad. I don't know whether that's the case again. It's probably not, because I suppose they're preparing for the preparing for the Euros, so it'd probably be their big guns, I'd imagine. But like, aside from that, I wouldn't be too excited about it now.
Oh, fair enough.
More disappointed by the fact there's no Premier Division Friday night. I know we'll be in that loan anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But like the set of fixtures after the international break, there's some absolutely smashing games coming up there.
Yeah, Rovers and Bowes playing the first, I think probably the 40th Dublin Derby this season.
Shettleston Dock.
Oh, yeah, some nice ones to come up, all right, yeah. Mm. Sure, look, that's the size of it.
Yeah, we'll be back to preview those next week and obviously react to the First Division games. And as I said, hopefully we will actually get to a First Division game this week. It's hard to believe what we're into. We're nearly into April now and we haven't been at an away game yet.
Yeah,
unheard of for us.
Unheard of is right, but look,
and our favorite kebab shop in Athlone's gone too, isn't it?
How many more kick-ins can we take?
So Athlone listeners, we seem to have a few, which is great given the rivalry. But if you can give us a recommendation for a kebab house on Friday, that would be greatly appreciated, and we can do our first BTS kebab review of the season then on next week's show. But for this week, look, that was Series 8 Episode 6 with me, Kieran Burke, and him, Gary Riley. We were brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. Thanks to Dylan Hand for joining us on the show. As ever, thanks to all of our listeners as well. Until next week, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.